slowly and carefully, just keeping down on the left-hand side of it, having to cut steps all the way. We were going quite well, and even though we're at nearly 29,000 feet, we're taking every care. But then when we were about halfway along, I suddenly noticed that Tenzing seemed to be in some distress. When I looked at him closely, I saw that he was breathing very quickly indeed. But I immediately examined his oxygen set and found that the outlet from his oxygen mask, about an inch and a half in diameter, was almost completely blocked up with ice, which meant that he wasn't really getting much benefit from his set. Fortunately, I was able to release this ice and give him immediate relief. We continued on again, cutting steps all the way, and we really were getting rather tired, and never being able to find the top, it seemed to elude us, until finally we came around the back of a steep bump and climbed up about 40 feet, and there we were. It was a wonderful experience to arrive there, and the view really was an amazing one, because the day was fine, and we could see a tremendous distance in every direction. In some directions, we could see mountains of 150 to 200 miles away. Well, we knew that our reserves of oxygen were not great. We're going to have to get down as quickly as possible. So after 15 minutes on top, we turned back along our tracks, climbed down the most difficult pass of the ridge, reached the south summit, and then we had to descend down that ridge, that slope that had worried us so much on the way up. Coming down that dangerous avalanche snow, I think, is the most unpleasant hour I've ever spent. Feeling very tired and weary, we moved down to the South Col, where we were met by one of our companions, George Lowe. Next day, he assisted us down the slopes into the Western Coombe, and happy but very tired, we moved down towards our companions.